Tonight's show, we're going to discuss preparing for Pesach. We're going to discuss the cleaning part of preparing for Pesach along with Bedikas Chametz. Trying to understand exactly what Chazal demand of us, require of us, both in our mitzvah to do Bedikas Chametz properly and likewise, and connected to what exactly is mandated by us with regard to cleaning our homes. I believe today many people go a little too far with Pesach cleaning, and they turn it to spring cleaning, and by doing so a lot of people get stressed out for really no good reason. So hopefully by tonight we'll shed some light on what exactly is required for Pesach cleaning. Now people always tell me, yeah, I know, but I want to do spring cleaning now also. Well, I urge you not to do it now and do it in the summer when you have no other stresses on your head. Now is not a good time to, clean the windows. Now is a good time to focus on getting the house clean and ready for Pesach. So before we get into that, let's understand what Chazal asked of us. So, for example, if you look at number one, Shulchan Aruch tells us, in the beginning of Hilchos Pesach, Betchilas Leil Arba Asa B'Nisan Boit Kenes HaChametz. We know we have an obligation, Pashtus Midrabanan, that we have a mitzvah to be boidek, to check our house on the night, the beginning of the night of the 14th. Boit Kenes HaChametz is when we start to check for Chametz, La'or Haner, the light of a candle, Bechurin ubestalkin, which literally translates into the cracks and the crevices. Bechol amikaymois shederech lahachnis sham chametz. In any place where it's normal for chametz to go in. Now, the simple reading of the Shulchan Aruch has a lot of halachic implications. First of all, the Mechaber starts off telling us, betchilas leil arba asar, in the beginning of the night of the 14th. So there's a discussion amongst Rishonim and Paiskim exactly when the mitzvah begins. We assume, like the Mishneh Berurah, that he paskins based on a Taz, that the Chiyuv Bedikah starts at Tzeis Yechavim, not before, not after. So immediately after Bein Hashmashes, which let's assume is going to be somewhere between 45 and 60 minutes after Shkia, that's when the obligation of Bedikas Chametz begins. That's the earliest time. And we should try to do it immediately. There's extra emphasis besides for generally not delaying mitzvahs, but the mitzvah of Bedikas Chametz, even more so, we're afraid people won't get around to doing it. Therefore, there's a big push to try to do it as soon as possible. So once it hits Tzeis HaKechavim, we'll start doing Bedikas Chametz. Shulchan Aruch also says you're supposed to use La'or Haner, at the end of tonight's show, we'll talk about what about today when we have flashlights and electric lights. Can we substitute that for the Ar Haner? Then the next words of the Shulchan Aruch is where I think a lot of people make a mistake. Shulchan Aruch says he's supposed to check the churin ubistokin, which again literally translates to means the crack and the crevices. So you find people that today will be go because chametz, they'll go to the corner of their house where there's a crack in the floor and they'll check there. That's not what Chazal meant. You have to understand, a little bit of a just basic understanding, that when Chazal, Rishonim, the Gemaras, their homes did not look anything like the homes of today. Not even close. Their homes, A, weren't nearly as big, didn't have nearly as much stuff as we have. But more than that, their homes weren't finished. Which means the floor and the walls had holes in them. There were cracks in the floor, cracks in the wall, where people would actually store food. So when they talk about holes and crevices, those were places that generally had food in them. We don't mean the floor over here between the two tiles. We don't really keep food in the crack between the two tiles or the crack in the corner of the room. That's not what they meant. They meant a crack and a hole that where people used to normally, frequently leave food because that's the way their homes looked. Today we have full finished walls. We don't have any room to put a hole unless someone punched a hole through the wall and then you got bigger problems than worrying about chametz, right? So this line in Shulchan Aruch is where a lot of people get thrown off. They think, oh, bedikas chametz means they got to go to all the cracks along the floor. No, that's not what they mean. They mean, again, in their times, that's where chametz used to be stored. Today, we would call it cabinets and under the table. So Shulchan Aruch, then the more important ending is, ubechol ha-mikoyim shederech lahachnish ha-mchametz, any place where it's normal for chametz to go there. Obviously, if you have an area in the house where you never bring chametz never goes there a whole year long, it's not required to do a bedikah. Now, as we'll see as we go through this, we have to try to figure out in our homes today, because we're always on the go, maybe everywhere could have chametz in it, because today we're not so conscious. We'll take the sandwich while we're walking around the house and while we're doing things and we have, eating and munching. It could be there's chametz everywhere and anywhere in our homes. The Mishneh Berurah over here discusses a fundamental shaila, which again is brought down in Mishnah in the beginning of Pesachim. Why are we doing bedikas chametz? What exactly is the purpose of this procedure that we do on the night prior to Pesach? So the Mishneh Berurah explains that we really do two things before Pesach. We do bedikas chametz that we all know of, and we also do maybe even a more important activity called bittel hachametz. That's the kol chamira that we recite. Now, like many times when we have things that people recite and don't know what they're saying, you have to actually know what you're saying. Someone thought that kol chamir means you make your chametz not into chametz. That would be a real magic trick. You can't make it not chametz. You can make it not your chametz. Now, we spoke about this by Taurus Nedarim. There are some people, or Salvation commented once, that some people thought that Taurus Nedarim was like a Tavas Chaloyim, because written the same part of the Siddur. So they figured it's some statement you make at the end of the year. So we have to know the statements that we're making, what they mean. So being vatal your chametz is a serious thing. It means you're saying, you're making a statement, that chametz that you own is void and all, it's not yours. If you don't know what that means, so you couldn't have done that, even though you might have said the words. So when it comes to mevatal chametz, what we call kol chamira, it's brought down in Shulchan Aruch that you have to know what you're saying. And if you don't know what you're saying, you better learn up what these words mean. So today we have a lot of easier ways. You have an art scroll and all these other methods that they tell you what the words mean, and good. So now you know what you're saying. But just to say it because you think that's what you're supposed to do after bedikas chametz is really pointless and doesn't get you anywhere, and more so, it might be even very bad because you might be running to Suri De Reis, as Mishnah Berurah explains. So why do we do both? So Mishnah Berurah says, Uminatari Bech Mem Sagi, Midereis, one of them would be good enough. Why? Once it's not your chametz, it's not over by your rabbi yimotze. You only over by your rabbi yimotze for your chametz. Someone else's chametz is not your problem. Therefore, says Mishnah Berurah, so then why can't I just do bittel and not have to do a bedikah? Let my house be full of chametz, but it's not my chametz. I'm a vatel. What's the problem? So the Mishnah Berurah says, we're worried about two things. Why? Very nice. I go out and I make a big statement, I'm a vatel with my chametz. Then I look around my house and I see I have thousands of dollars worth of chametz. And I say to myself, no way. Deal's off. I'm not doing this. So I, even though I said the words, but the words are meaningless if we know that you don't mean it at heart. Therefore, we're afraid that you're not really going to mean it. If you don't really mean it, then we're running into a serious issue of a bayur al bayur matzah. Says the Mishnah Berurah, "Avshe bepiv yoyimer shohayy batal vehefkir v'chashuv kafir mikomakim liba leken yachshayf." It's your heart's not saying the same thing. Therefore, v'leitven b'leiv shalom v'ari over bayur al bayur matzah shavelei hoytzi mibeisai. It's sitting in your house. It's yours in your house. You're over bayur al bayur matzah. That's one factor to remember. Now, this is what I really want to get into, is the second factor, v'oid. Another thing Chazal were worried about is Shema Mitechshir Gilam by Kala Shana. We're afraid of like this. Maybe you really mean it. So all the chametz that's in your house, you don't really want to own. But let's be practical. If a whole year I'm used to opening my cupboard and taking out cookies, I'm going to do that on Pesach also. So Chazal were afraid you may come to eat the chametz. You'll say it's not my chametz. You're right. You're not even by your will, by your matzah. But there's three other psukim in the Torah that discuss eating chametz. And those prohibitions don't have to be your chametz. So therefore, we're concerned about you accidentally eating chametz over Pesach. So if the chametz would be around, it would be accessible and available. It's very practical that you may come accidentally because you're so used to eating it, you'll come to eat the chametz. So this is what I want to focus on for tonight's share. Clearly, you see that the goal of Chazal with both Bedikas chametz and the whole Yom Tov of chametz is we want to ensure you don't come to eat chametz accidentally. That's the theme. That's the idea. And the whole bedikah and the whole beer and the whole procedure is to ensure that that doesn't happen. So if that's the attitude that we have, so now when we're going through bedikas chametz and when we're cleaning our house for Pesach, we have to ask ourselves, what is something that I may come to eat or what is something that I won't eat? You know, dirt on the floor that maybe has a crumb in it is not what Chazal were worried about. Licking the windows is not what Chazal were worried about. So when I ask myself, what do I need to clean for Pesach? And the first thing that comes to mind is the windows. You have to ask yourself, why do the windows need to be cleaned? Unless your chayish is that over Pesach, you're so desperately needing some chametz, you're going to go over and lick the wall and get the chametz taste. I think we're not chayish for that. So what exactly are we looking for? The answer is we're looking for chametz that we might have not seen. Real chametz. Under the couch, or in the couch cushions, in our pockets, in our drawers, of real substantial chametz. We're not worried about these little dirty pieces of chametz that are, by now, at this point, no longer edible. So that's the theme of what we're thinking about throughout Bedikas chametz, and likewise, when we're cleaning for Pesach, that's what we should be cleaning. However, the Shulchan Aruch writes in number 3, Boidek kol ha-mikoymish yesh locho shemech nisa behem chametz. Nonetheless, you have to check every place that you might have brought in their chametz. All rooms on top and bottom of the house, first floor, second floor, they all need bedikah. Why? Yeah, maybe you won't have a meal in your bedroom, but you might have walked into your bedroom once holding something of food, and you put it down, and you forgot it there, and you left it there, and half the sandwich is still there. That's possible. But if let's say you have a room where you don't bring food there at all, you don't go there holding food. Now, I would make the case that today most of the rooms in our house don't fit this criteria. I think there's very few rooms in our home that we won't bring food into. Maybe the bathroom, which we'll talk about. Even a place can talk about the boiler room. I don't know, if someone needs to go check his boiler, needs to check the water level, he wouldn't walk in munching on a bagel? Well, why not? Why wouldn't he? You know, we multitask, right? He would probably be on his phone and eating the bagel at the same time. And walking, pretty impressive, right? So to say today that there's rooms in our home that I don't believe it. The only thing I can think of, if you have one of those, let's say, you know, those attics that you have to pull down the door. So then already I hear, you got to go up a ladder and pull down a string, and it's just storage, you can't really walk there. No, I hear. That could be argued a room that's Eimachnis B'chametz. But every other room in the house, the study, the den, whatever name you want to call it, that we wouldn't walk in holding food, I just don't think it's true. I think we would. And therefore, I think these rooms do need to be checked. Now, obviously, some rooms need to be checked better and more thoroughly than other rooms. Obviously, the kitchen, the dining room, the living room, those are the hot spots. Obviously, the bedrooms are on a lower scale, but nonetheless, I think they still need to be checked. Now, Mr. Brew explains over here, every room that you possibly could have walked in while holding food. Mr. Brew explains, Hainu afilu chadarim shemachzik ma'mashkonis. Let's say you have a room that you just use for a mashkin. That's where you keep things. He writes, maybe you'll walk in the middle of the meal, to return the mashkin. Right? Every room, you know, let's say someone has a room where he just has pictures in there. That's the room where they look at all the family pictures. Right? So you got to tell me, oh, maybe once he was carrying a sandwich and he brought it into the room. To me, it's very hard to know which rooms don't fit this criteria. So to me, I would have assumed all our rooms today fit this criteria, that there's a potential that chametz could go there. Now again, if you know in your house you have a policy, no food in the second floor, no food in the third floor, okay? So then you know, you don't bring chametz. But other than that, I find it very hard to say a blanket statement that no rooms have chametz. Now again, when we talk about chametz, we don't mean little crumbs on the floor. We mean something of a substantial amount of food. Now, the Nitta Gavriel writes in number 5, any house that has kids in them, if you have kids, you know that they go everywhere and anywhere. I'm still finding things my son is burying. He hides things. He buries them in his cars. So everywhere and anywhere you could have chametz. So if you have kids in the house, almost every room you have to assume has chametz in it and it needs to be checked. This is a discussion in the Achreinim. What about the bathroom? The Rivas Ephraim has a couple of tshuvas where he discusses, what about the bathroom? So he quotes some others who make the interesting ha'ara. You don't find any poskim talk about the bathroom. If you go through the standard poskim on Shulchan Aruch, no one talks about the bathroom. So everyone knows you can't bring food into the bathroom because it becomes treifa if it goes into the bathroom, which is also not true, but that's besides the point. But in any case, the argument that I make today is that the bathroom is no longer just a bathroom. A bathroom is like another bedroom. We shave and we brush our teeth and we put on the makeup. It's a whole other room. Now, yes, it's a bathroom and there's, you know, a toilet there, but I think for many people it becomes another bedroom, another room to do things. So one could have made the argument that today it is a makim shemachnis about chametz. People do bring chametz into the bathroom. So again, you have to know yourself. Someone's telling me, no, I'm a germ guy. I don't go near anything. Okay, fine. If you're a germ guy, then you're right. You're not going to bring food into the bathroom. So I think what many contemporary poskim suggest is do a very thorough, very quick cleaning of the bathroom. Once, you know, look through everything, make sure you're not missing anything. Obviously, you'll have in the medicine cabinets medications that will need to be dealt with or whatever. That's a shift for a different time. But we're talking about actual food. So many of you will say, come on, I don't bring any food into my bathroom. I don't leave a sandwich there. There's no half a cookie there. Okay. Maybe. But if you have children, A, then that's for sure not ruled out. Some people say the laundry room. That's a safe spot. The laundry room. No one brings food into the laundry room. Okay, first again, if you have pets, I think it also could be a problem. Right? I don't mean to compare children to pets, but there are similarities, but okay. In any case, if you have pets, you have the same problem. They bring food everywhere and anywhere, and you don't know what's going on. So all these areas need to be at least noticed and taken. Again, maybe you don't need to spend so much time in it, but you definitely need to spend time checking all these rooms where there's a very strong potential that chametz could have gone. Now, if you look at number 6, the Ramah writes the following at the end of Hilchas Bedikas Chametz. He writes, V'chol adam tzarech l'chabed chadarov k'ayid mabdika. The Ramah writes, he's talking supposed to do Pesach cleaning. It's not just a shtus that we made up. Yitaka's supposed to. Everyone should clean their rooms before Bedikas Chametz. The hakisim oibate hayad shel begadim. This is another interesting halacha where the Ramah introduces pockets that we have on our clothing that we tend to store food in. Those places also need a bedika. Shenais namem lepamim chametz tzrichim bedika. So we have to we have to check our house before, and secondly, says the Ramah, you have to check kisim and bate yad. So Mr. Brewer writes over in number 7. Even though the guy says, I don't put chametz into my pockets. I'm not one of those guys. He says, Mishmur, it doesn't matter. It could have been something you did without even thinking about it. Many people don't actually check all their suits. They just shake out their pockets during the beer. He thinks the right thing is to check them out. Now, later Achrenim point out that this doesn't have to be done leil B'dikas chametz. Your clothing, because it's not me'ikar adin, it's a subcategory of B'dikas chametz, it can be done up to Pesach. I mean, let's, for example, you have three suits, so you say, you know what, over Shabbos, I'm going to check them out, and then I'll put them on the side, they're now clean for Pesach, now I'm good to go. Someone told me, can I do it today? I said, sure, but you have two Shabbos until Pesach. So a lot can happen between now and Pesach. I think now is a little early, unless you're going to designate your closet, I'm not wearing this suit for the next 2 weeks. But we can do that early, you don't have to wait till the night of Pesach to do these things to check. Based on this Ramon Shulchan Aruch, the Paiskim learn out from here that you also have to check your car for B'dikas Chametz. Even though your car is not your bais, but we spend a lot of time in our car. Car has a lot of food in it. It's a makim shemachnisa b'chametz, so our cars also need to be b'idik. However, the same way there's no bracha on checking one's pockets, there's likewise no bracha on checking one's car. If a person's b'idik his car, he doesn't make a bracha. If a person were to rent a car over Pesach, let's say he's having a Cholamai trip in the middle, so he should also have to be baidik the car, even though you're telling me the rental places clean it. Yeah, they clean it to whatever the eye can see is what they clean. They don't check it for Pesach. So if you rent a car over Pesach, it is yours. You're a seicher. You're a renter. So it's your rishus. So it doesn't have to be your chametz. There's still a chash you may come to eat it. Likewise, if you're renting a hotel, let's say, for example, you'll be at a hotel for the Cholamai or the second days of Pesach, you should also do a bedika. Now you'll tell me, what do you mean? There's housekeeping. I was in a hotel for Pesach, and I came on Erev Pesach, which maker I didn't, there's no, I did a bedika before, and I decided to do a quick bedika, and I found a can of soda under the bed, can of Sprite, not Pesach dik. Now, the answer is housekeeping cares as much as your eye can see. Housekeeping doesn't care what's under a pillow, what's under a block, that they don't care about, because they're not really worried about Pesach cleaning. So when you, even if you rent a hotel, rent a villa from somebody, you should do a bedika again. You don't have to do necessarily the most longest bedika, because it probably is cleaned, but don't assume it's clean just because it's a rental place and they're giving you something that's new. Don't assume it was cleaned.
What if they have a full mini
bar? Huh?
What if they have a full mini
bar? They got a bigger problem. Okay. Most of it's going to be chametz, probably. So you can ask them to remove it from the room. That's what I would tell you to do. You have to ask them to remove it from the room. Because although you're not going to drink from it, or we hope not, it's...
What if it's locked and you don't have a key to it?
Yeah, so that's... Unless you make the argument, which I don't believe is true, unless you make the argument that it's not even yours, I'm wondering if, you know, this might be a lomda shashayla, right, it's not yours until you pay for it, right, until you pay for it. So then I guess if that would be good enough, the fact that you have no access to it, you don't even have the key. Some of them, they don't give the key to the person who has the room. And they have it in the front desk. So that itself might be good enough, I guess. But yeah, if you have access to it, you have to get rid of it, even though it's not yours. But again, chametz is not yours, we don't want having it in your possession either. Yeah.
If you're staying in a hotel which is made over for Pesach, and there's a lockdown and everything, you still...
So again, I was in one of those programs. Again, and they do a good job, but don't assume. If you're going to a Pesach program and you'll be there at Pesach, I suggest do a quick overlook of your room. Go under the bed, go behind the bed, just to look, just to make sure there's nothing there. You'll be surprised. You might find something, you might not. But there's no bracha anyways. You don't make a bracha on the medikah, because not during the day.
Before the Zman or after the Zman?
I came after the Zman, probably.
So what do you do with the chametz then?
So the problem is not my chametz. Pashas belongs to the hotel. I brought it to the front desk. Let them worry about it.
You have to do a bedikah in your car. Yeah. Let's say you clean your car. You still have to be...
Same way you clean your house, you still do
what?
It. Same way when you clean your house, you still do a bedikah. So same thing. Yeah, you still do a bedikah. Now, obviously, the Paiskim suggests you don't have to use a candle to burn down your car. That's not a good idea. So use a flashlight. Some Paiskim even suggest doing it during the day. But one should be baidik in the car. If a person should be baidik his office as well, I don't know why people don't do that. A person has an office, that's his. Again, if he works for someone else, and it's the boss's, so it's not his. But if you own your own office, or you rent an office, you rent office space, that's yours. Unless you tell me you don't bring food into your office, which I find hard. So you can do one of two things. You either go there tonight, if you're not going to be there between now and Pesach, so you'll do it then. You can hire a shliach. There's games to play, but I don't know why an office doesn't need to be baidik. Again, if it's not your office, or if it belongs to your boss, so it's your boss's problem. Likewise, the Paiskim suggests if you are a bachur in yeshiva and you have a dorm room, so most achrenim assume your dorm room is your responsibility to be baidik, because you're considered a renter. Moshe Shtermach has a possibility in Tshuvas HaHagos, maybe it's not. Maybe you're not really a renter because the yeshiva can kind of move you around. Right? If you rent an apartment, they can't move you around. They can't decide that you're 3A, in the middle of your lease, they decide, you know, we're moving you to 3D. They can't do that. So you're a real renter. When you're in yeshiva, if the mashgiach decides you're a bad influence on your friends, they A, can throw you out, that's first of all, and B, they can move you around. They'll shuffle you around the dorm. They'll do whatever they want. So maybe that means you're not really a renter. You're more like a guest. Most Paiskim disagree. Most Paiskim assume that a yeshiva boy in yeshiva is considered a renter and he has to be baidik his area. So all these places we sometimes lose sight of. But what's also important is that Mr. Brewer points that later I'm going to point out, included in this Bate Yad and Kisim is people don't take for granted, you have to check your briefcases and knapsacks, suitcases. People go on vacation and they pack things for the trip and they come back and they forget it there, and that's a real problem. It could be real edible food. We're talking about serious food. So while people are busy licking the walls and worried about that, we have real things that people are over not looking at. Knapsacks, purses, bags, all these things, even freezers. Many times people don't realize that they'll have stuff in the back of a freezer that they think they got rid of it, they think it's OUP, and it's not. That likewise could be a problem. So people should check their freezers, refrigerators, storage areas. Many people say, oh, my storage area, I don't bring chametz. You might not bring chametz, but you might have went to Costco and bought a lot of cookies before Pesach, and you left one container on the floor there. And it's chametz sitting in your possession. So we should just be aware that we have to really go and focus on, we're looking to see substantial amounts of food.
If you're away the entire Pesach.
So if you're away the entire Pesach, so then you have a couple of options of what you're going to do. Now there's two separate questions here. The question is how you're getting rid of the chametz and when you're leaving with regard to Bedikas chametz. If you're going to be there the night of Bedikas chametz, then you'll seemingly have an obligation to do a Bedikah. If you're going to be leaving before then you won't have an obligation. Ikra din, you might still do Bedikah without a brach. We'll talk about that hopefully in a few minutes.
Your original premise was that what Chazal was trying to accomplish was that I don't accidentally...
Correct.
So that would suggest two things to me. If I'm not going to be in my office the entire Pesach, who cares?
But what stops you from being...
I can't accidentally...
But what stops you from going into your office?
I'm going to be out of town.
That's normal, but there's nothing really stopping you. If plans, if plans change and now you're stuck and you need something, you'll go there.
Okay.
It's not like it's locked off to you.
Second question is, if I'm in my house, even though I might sell my chametz,
very good.
There should be an obligation that every piece of chametz I have has to be locked up.
Yeah, there should be. And many Rishonim would have liked it to be that way. And in a perfect world, when we sell our chametz to the guy, we would not leave it at home. It would actually go to the guy's house. That's the really way it should go.
To avoid taking it by accident.
Right, so in theory, you're right. If we sell the chametz to the guy, it should not be in our home. We don't do that because it's just too hard for people, and therefore we come up with a little bit of a loophole where we say, it's not really my possession because it's really the guy's, and we try to put up barriers, and we put up, we try to close it off, and we try to do it, but in theory, you're 100% right. Chazal were very afraid of that. And that's
more important.
Yeah, there's much more of a chance to eat that. Well, yeah, for sure. That stuff is much more edible because it's nice and packaged as opposed to the stuff you find under the couch that could be 2 weeks old. So the Nitzan Gavriel writes something very cute, number 8. He writes, Al-Habal la-hakir toive l'ishtay al-vaydosa ha-kosha likras ha-pesach. He writes that every husband has to thank his wife for all the extra prep that she puts in for Pesach. So now I was giving this shit to Talmidim of mine in the morning, so I was telling them, many women, they go so crazy with the cleanings. The guy looks at me, says, I don't know, my cleaning lady doesn't seem to be too stressed out over it. I said, okay, I'm happy to hear. But It many times it does fall on the women, and some families it falls on the men, whoever it may be. So again, once we have a focus of what we're trying to accomplish, it makes it a little bit easier. We're not looking for that Cheerio that's under the oven, or that, that Cheerio that maybe is under the fridge. That's not what we're worried about. We're worried about food that might be accessible and easily obtainable over Pesach that we might have forgotten to get. Now, if you look at the Mishnah Berurah,
we have to look for that Cheerio.
I'm going to get to that in a second. If you look at the Mishnah Berurah, it's very interesting. Just think about how the Mishnah Berurah lived. He tells you that the Ramah writes you're supposed to clean before Pesach. So look at the Mishnah Berurah. When do you do that? Why? The Lemivduk Shabbat B'lei Kibud. V'aminig L'chabit Kol HaBayis V'chadarim B'yoyim Yud Gimel. When did they used to do Pesach cleaning? On Erev Pesach. That would never fly today. Right? Today, the Mishnah Berurah writes, and there used to be Mekayim this minig of cleaning before Pesach was on Erev Pesach. Yud Gimel, which would be Sunday you start doing your Pesach cleaning. Go home and suggest that to your wife, see how far that gets you, that you start doing your Pesach cleaning on the day before you do Bedikas Chametz. Again, you have to remember, their homes were much smaller. They didn't have as much stuff as we have, not nearly as much food as we had, so for them it was much easier to do it sooner. But for us, that's not very practical. Now, many people are concerned with Bedikas Chametz. They're worried about those crumbs. The crumbs that they find on the floor, the crumbs that they find. Are we really worried about crumbs? So the Mishnah Berurah has, Be'etzem HaMachlokes HaPoskim, do you even have a mitzvah to burn crumbs? Some people think that the whole Sreifas Chametz is burning crumbs. Burning all those little crumbs that you gather around the house, that are most of it's probably dirt anyways, not even crumbs, and that's what people are concerned about. The Mishnah Berurah writes clearly. He says, first of all, it's HaMachlokes HaPoskim, if you even have to burn crumbs that are less than the share of a kazayis. Kazayis is a big share. Now, even if you gather all the crumbs in the corners of your house, you probably might not even get a kazayis worth if you put it all together. Says the Mishnah Berurah, that's all if it's royal achila. If you get yourself a bunch of little crumbs that are dirty, you don't have to burn that. That's not what Bedikas Chametz is about. We're not searching for those little crumbs that might be in the corner of the house. That's, first of all, you're not going to eat because it's disgusting. We're talking about finding food that is edible, that's big, something you may really eat. So again, the more we think about Bedikas Chametz in these terms, it makes the whole procedure a little less daunting. For example, if you look in contemporary pricing, the question always arises, what about moving heavy appliances? Maybe a Cheerio fell under the fridge. Maybe something fell under the oven. Do I have to start moving my oven and moving my fridge? So Shmuel Kamenetsky writes in Kavetz Halachas, he says it really depends on the size of the object. Im kashim ma'oid lahaziza, it's very difficult to move it. So the chashiv kemah poilus. Shulchan Aruch talks about a case that you have mah poilus. What happens if a house falls down and a bunch of there's chametz under that big pile? So what are you worried about? Who's going to go under the rubble to get the chametz? It's too much work. So he says if you have a very heavy object, I would say like a big fridge or like a big oven, which you normally don't move randomly. It's not like you'll wake up in the middle of Pesach and say, you know, I'm in the mood for a Cheerio. Let's move the oven and take out a Cheerio. You just don't do that. It's not normally moved. So then he says, then there is no chiyuv to move it to do a bedika. But if it's easy to move, kigoyin sheyesh lo galgalim, let's say it has wheels. So again, you go through everything in your house and say, well, is this easily to be moved? They're not easy to be moved. But if it's something that's easy to be moved, so then there is a chash that you may move it under the couch. Couches are easily moved, so people have to move the couch and check under the couch. The couch cushions need to be checked. Now, if you have a huge, huge brake front that's huge and heavy and all your china's in there, you probably don't normally move it to do things. So then I would suggest going under it, but you don't have to move it and shift the whole thing over to look for maybe there might be a piece of challah that someone threw there throughout the year. So the rule of thumb is there a chance or a likelihood that someone may come to eat something here? And if the answer is no, then there's no chiyuv to do bedik.
So when I was 10 years younger, I might have thought of moving the oven, but now that I'm the age I am, it's not something that I would feel like doing. So does that potter me, or should I find someone younger to pull it?
No, I don't think it's a question. I think this is something normally that people will move. You, people you'll have over on Pesach, if your average Joe will move this object, so then maybe there's what to be concerned. If your average person doesn't just walk into a house and start moving the brake fronts, not because it's disrespectful, but just because it's just very big, so then you don't have to worry about it. So if again, we have to really ask ourselves these big appliances that we have. Obviously, you know, a microwave is not that big. You move the microwave, you see what's under it. But, you know, one of these big, you know, ovens, these big refrigerators, there's really no reason to be concerned. Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky says the same thing. Number 12 says Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky, B'mokim shiesh machshirim gedoyim ke mekarer v'tanur, yivdek ad mokim shiyode megas. You just have to do a bedik as far as your hand can reach. Meaning, if I can reach under and get something, so then someone can reach under and get it on Pesach. But if, you know, I'm not worried that I may stand over the oven and stick my hand down and come around about to get a piece of bread, that's just not what we're worried about. That's not the idea of Bedikas Chametz.
So, even though you know
that
there is a piece of bread.
That's a Shaila. That's depending on when you know, how early you know, and when it's put in, that might be more complicated. But Pashtus, you'll do Bittel. The Bittel will, again, assuming it's not accessible. Now, if it is accessible, with a little bit of work, it might get a little more complicated. But if you know, there's no way this is being moved. It can only be moved by, you know, professional movers. So then, Pashtus, even if the Cheerio is there, you probably don't have to worry about it. I can get away with Bittel. Likewise, chances are, and I've seen this because when I recently moved and they moved my oven for the first time probably in 10 years, and so all the Cheerios that are under there, it's clearly not Royal Achila. There's no question. Besides for being mold and all the other wonderful colors, no, that's for sure not Royal Achila. So
it wouldn't be
appropriate.
No, no. There's no Isra Achila. It's not food.
It wouldn't be appropriate to include it in the chametz yourself.
No, I think that's what Bittel's for. When we do Bittel, right, why would the guy buy it? Right, that's the famous picture that's going around now. You know, Ivanka turns to Donald and says, will you buy my chametz? I personally would be nervous to sell my chametz to Donald Trump. I think he knows too much about business that he might find too many flaws with our mechiras chametz. He might say to himself, something's not right here on a financial, on a business level, something doesn't make sense. I'm not sure if he's the right guy I'd sell my chametz to, but can I just sell your chametz? By the time you're done with him, you lost your chametz, you lost the money, and you wonder where everything went.
You lost
everything. Where'd it go? But in any case, but the mechiras chametz is generally for real chametz. Things like that, I think, are covered in the bittel. Now, we all know. Yeah.
How about, let's say, as far as crumbs? So
crumbs? What?
Your dining room table has a leaf, right? It's got pads on top, still going. And who used to sit there opening it up to clean that?
So this is where things get a little complicated, because there's really two nekudas with crumbs. There's one nekuda that you'll actually open the leaf and grab some crumbs and lick it, which you're not going to do. But the question that many achronim talk about is with svarim. Those people that are such masmidim that every time they eat, they learn, or vice versa, depends how you look at it. So there's a chance that they were munching on food, and there's food in the sefer, or a book, whatever it may be. So you'll tell me, so I can't open that sefer. Some people tell me they're machmir, they don't learn over Pesach, because of Cheshesh, they might be chametz. And they don't learn the rest of the year also, because of Gzeirah. So they're good the whole year. Right? So let's say you're taka, you know that you eat over your svarim. You know, you're honest with yourself. And now it comes Pesach. So some achronim hold, you taka have to clean it. You have to clean the svarim, clean every sefer. A Talmud of mine told me that he stayed in Eretz Yisrael 1 year, and his Rebbe gave him a job of cleaning all his svarim. He told me he sat there for 3 hours cleaning every Rebbe sefer. I said, that's cruel punishment. I think I would have told the Rebbe, you don't have to do that. So what do? So you do bittel. You're not worried that you're going to lick the crumbs of the chametz. But what we are worried about is if you bring it to the table, and you hold your sefer up, and the crumbs drop into your soup bowl, or into your dish, that you may come to accidentally eat. So therefore, many acharedim hold that although we're not really concerned about the crumbs that you'll lick from the actual sefer, if you bring it to the table, we're worried that it will drop into a dish accidentally. So what most acharedim hold, Rav Shamizam, Rav Moshe and others, is that if you know you have svarim, you have two options. Either clean it out before, or don't bring it to a table that you're going to be eating at. So learn on the couch, or learn in your bed, and this way you don't have a chashash of eating it. So same thing here also. If somehow you'll tell me that those crumbs will find their way, it's pretty unlikely that it will. You have to be pretty creative for those crumbs to work their way. But people are generally more worried about crumbs that are near and around things that are going to be eaten. That's
now,
the spot.
How about if you have a cooktop, right? And it lays on top of a countertop. For years it's a pain to sit there lifting it. And there's always, you know, syrup and things from cooking that overflows. It gets caught in
so the... syrup and things that are sticky, Achrenim are worried that what happens is it will touch your hand, it'll become stuck to your hand, and then you'll touch it to something of Pesach.
Yeah, but you can't get to it. In other words, you clean to the cooktop. I'm talking about lifting it. It has a lip that goes, let's say, an inch or two over on all four parts of the
is product. It easily accessible?
It's impossible. I got to lift it from underneath.
Yes.
There's tons of stuff there. There's always rice and this and pasta. And
I think if you can get it out as best as you can, as far as your hand can reach, I would try to get it out. Because, again, if it's accessible, again, it's doable. It might not be the most common thing to do.
Yeah, I mean, it's like you got to do it. It's like your fridge. I mean,
it's not as hard as a refrigerator. It's not physically strained. I don't think it's physically as difficult as moving a refrigerator.
No, I mean,
so I would be a little bit more concerned. Yeah, I would be a little bit more concerned. I would try to clean it. What some acharonim suggest is, let's say, for example, those hard-to-reach spots, so you just pour on it some form of spray, you put some Fantastic on it, whatever the spray may be, and this way it's nifsal achila, this way you don't have to worry. Even if you taka decide to go grab that rice, you won't be over any form of anis. In Klal Yisrael, we have a very popular meaning based on Ramon Shulchan Aruch, is that we all put out 10 pieces of bread, or... the way the Ramah writes, it's not even 10, but there's a minute to put out pieces of bread before Bedikas Chametz. And there's many reasons in the Poskim to why we do this. Now the Ramah writes, number 13, the Ramah writes, V'noigim laniach pesitei chametz b'makim she'imtzom habaydik. You put out pieces of bread where the searcher could find them. Why? K'dei sh'lai b'rchas al-vatol. He's calling from Ari Brain from the Rishayim, that his concern was a brachal vatol issue. Being that the bracha is somehow connected to burning, al bir chametz, therefore we're afraid if you check and you have nothing to burn the next day, it will be a bracha vatal. Says the Ramah, humiyo, however, im loy nosan loyikiv, if you didn't put out the pieces of bread, it's okay. Why? The das kol adam im habracha levar im nimsa. Because the whole bracha of levar is if I take a fight. Al bir chametz if I have what to burn. If I don't have what to burn, so then I don't plan on doing it. Now, it's truth is today it's not done again because we all have separate food that we burn anyways. Irrelevant to our bedika, we always have that box of Cheerios that we throw in and we watch the box burn slowly and the Cheerios never get really burnt, which people don't realize that. You have to be careful when you throw boxes of anything in. The inside doesn't always get burnt. The box will. Same thing with bagels. Don't use bagels for Sreifas Chametz. Because what happens with the bagels, the outside of the bagel gets burnt, the inside is completely royal achila. I've seen this many times. So if you're going to use bread, don't use a bagel. Use something that's a little thinner. This way you'll know for sure it will get burnt. So the Ramah's concern was that we're worried about the bracha. The Shari Tshuva brings down over here that if you're going to do this minna, you got to make sure that each piece is less than the kazayas. Because we don't want you to take your nice clean house and bring chametz in for no reason. So this way, let's say you lose one of the pieces. So we don't want you having a piece of kazayas, because if you eat a kazayas chametz, you're over a karis. So this way we want to make sure you have each piece is less than the kazayas. The Chayki Yaakov writes over here, great thing. He writes that this minnag is, he quotes over here, kasta the minnag zem maisa noshim hu. This whole minnag of the 10 pieces, the pieces of bread, that's maisa noshim. The Taz says two things. The Taz writes, first of all, you don't eat it. Secondly, it's not a good idea. Because if you don't eat it, why would you bring chametz into a Pesach cleaned house? It just doesn't make any sense. And the Chag Yaakov comes up with a very nice pshat. You know why we do it? He says, it's nothing to do with the bracha. He says, we do it because we want to get people to do a bedikah. The average attitude of a person is, my house is clean. I spent a lot of money on a cleaning lady. My house is clean. What am I checking? So to get people to be a little bit more motivated to do a bedikah, says the Chag Yaakov, that's why we put out the pieces of bread. Nothing to do with a brach. The nafkemina lahalach would be, let's say you have a person who's leaving his house before Lel Yudalit. Let's say a person's going away for Pesach, he's going to Eretz Yisrael. So because the way it falls out this year, you can't first leave Sunday night. So you're going to leave, you'll go before Shabbos. So a person leaves Thursday, Friday, or Thursday. So the halacha is you'll do a bedika right before you leave. So it's not Lel Yudalit, so you won't make a bracha. So if I'm going to do a bedika the night before Lel Yudalit, do I still have to put out the 10 pieces of bread? So if it's tali in the bracha, I'm not making a bracha, so I don't need the 10 pieces of bread. But if it's like the Chayk Yankiv, that we're trying to make sure you do a real bedika, so in the Chayk you should put out the 10 pieces of bread, because it is a real bedika. Although you're not making a bracha, it should be a real bedika, so you should put out the 10 pieces of bread. I think contemporary Paiskim suggests you don't put out the 10 pieces of bread. That's because we don't really have to put out the 10 pieces of bread in the first place. The Gra and others never put out the 10 pieces of bread. They felt there's no obligation. The Vilna Gaon brings an interesting raya. He brings a raya from the halachas that if a person is baidik chametz on Chol HaMoed, right, like we spoke about, let's say someone moves into a new place on Chol HaMoed, so the halacha is he has to be baidik the chametz. So the Gra assumes that you make a bracha on that bedika. Frak the Gra, where's the 10 pieces of bread? I can wait. Can you just imagine some guy dream up a cheshbon that you got to go out of your way to buy chametz on Pesach so you can put out the 10 pieces of bread on Chol HaMoed? So the Gra said, obviously you're not putting out the 10 pieces of bread. So you see that the 10 pieces of bread is not connected to the bracha. So the Vilna Gaon was against this whole minhag, and as like many litvishes. That's what the Vilna Gaon assumes. Halacha Maisi probably don't, but the Vilna Gaon assumes like that. So the minhag in Klai shows that we do this, even though there are plenty of people that hold not to do this. The Mishnah Berurah quotes from the Arizal that had the magical number 10. The Ramon never said anything about 10. That comes from an Arizal, why we do the 10. Ibshlam Zalman is under the impression that because we clean our homes so thoroughly, what exactly is the purpose of bedikas chametz? And this is a very valid question. Some achrayim make the argument, they quote from the Sefer Emek Halacha, that today you have to put out 10 pieces of bread. Because if you don't put out the 10 pieces of bread, your whole bedikah is a waste of time. Because since you checked your house so thoroughly and so carefully, it's not a makim shemachnis and chametz. So how can you even do bedikah in your house? Elamai, the 10 pieces makes it now that you can do bedikah. So Shlomo Zalman disagrees with that premise. He thinks that's not true. He thinks if you were to do bedikah in a clean house without 10 pieces, you still make a bracha. The question is, why is he not correct? So Ibshlam Azam's outlook on Bedikas Chametz, and this is something we should keep in mind. What we're doing for Bedikas Chametz is we're looking to make sure the cleaning lady did a good job. That's what we're doing. We're looking to make sure that it was cleaned properly. That should be our attitude for Bedikas Chametz. We're looking to make sure that they covered all those spots that we asked them or we told them to cover. Under the couch, and the couch cushion. Yes, you'll tell me, come on, obviously you're not going to find Chametz sitting on your kitchen counter. You're not going to. But you might find chametz in the back somewhere, under something, next to something. So that should be the attitude of bedikas chametz. Going out to look to make sure everyone did what they were supposed to and the chametz was put where it was supposed to be put. That should really be the attitude of bedikas chametz. Now, if you turn to the next side in the Shas Truvis Kinyan Torah, he says what I told you earlier. He says, don't be saimich on cleaning help. He says the cleaning help is not cleaning for the sake of Bayurel Bayimotze. The cleaning help is making sure it's out of eyesight. So just because you hired someone to clean your chametz for you, doesn't that mean they didn't hide the chametz under a cushion somewhere? Doesn't mean that they didn't move the couch or move this and move that. They might just say to themselves, listen, if no one sees, no one says, and move on. So don't be saying, well, I had a cleaning helper, I paid extra, I had so much help, my house is spotless. Yeah, it's not spotless, it's probably very clean, but it's not chametz. It's not chametz checked. There still could be under a drawer somewhere that there still might be chametz. So if you just look very quickly, if you look, many achreidim did not put out the 10 pieces of bread. For example, the stipler did not put out 10 pieces of bread, neither did the briskers. They felt there's really no need for the 10 pieces of bread based on the Gron Shulchan Aruch. Today, I think everyone does it just because it's part of the ritual of Bedikas Chametz. You have to put out 10 pieces of bread, and you also have to turn the lights off. That's another one that's very funny. Another ritual when it comes to Bedikas Chametz is you have to turn the lights off. Most contemporary Achrayim say that today that we have electric lights in our home, there's really no reason to turn the lights off. For example, if you were to lose something in your house, well, the first thing you do is turn the lights off and take a flashlight? Probably not. The first thing you do is turn on the big lights and get a flashlight. So most contemporary places can hold today, there is no Indian hakbada to turn off the lights. The briskers are makbid to turn off the lights. But most contemporary Achrayim hold, I think today we do it because it's like part of the game with the kids. It's scary, it's cool, it's dark, and I get it, it's fun. But Mikra Adin, there's really no reason to do it. I'm going to get to that in 1 second. Yeah, we'll get to that right now. So it's very interesting, Machloikis Achreinim, is that the stipler and the Satmar Rebbe apparently had a minig that they would put the pieces out themselves. The Boydik would put the 10 pieces out himself. While Reb Shlomo Zalman said that defeats the purpose. It's supposed to be that you don't know about it. So Reb Shlomo Zalman was makbid that someone else should put it out. So I was thinking that this might be totally why you put out the 10 pieces of bread. It's the reason why you put the 10 pieces of bread is to make sure you do a better bedika. So then obviously if you're the one who knows, so you're not going to, it kind of defeats the purpose. The Kitzur Shulchan Aruch writes, and this is very important, Kitzur Shulchan Aruch writes, if you come to Bedikas Chametz, and all you do is look for the 10 pieces of bread, you weren't yoyz to Bedikas Chametz, and it's a shalav bracha levatol. which is what turned in today Klal Yisrael. Bedikas Chametz became, let's look for the 10 pieces of bread, and once we get number 10, we close up shop and we're done. That's not correct. Bedikas Chametz should be, again, I'm not saying Bedikas Chametz should take 10 hours. I don't think it should take 10 minutes either. I think it should be somewhere where we go through all the rooms that we think there's Chametz and all the drawers and make sure the cleaning lady did like we asked her and make sure everyone, every kid did what they were supposed to. And along the way, we find the 10 pieces of bread. But it's not the hunt for the 10 pieces of bread. That's not what Bedikas Chametz should be. And I think if that's what it becomes, it's probably better not to have them there, because then we kind of defeat the purpose. So what about using a candle? So with Shulchan Aruch says he's supposed to use L'ar HaNer. So the truth is the Gemara in Psachim makes a drasha from a pasuk that you're supposed to do chipush. The way you search is with a candle. So some achrayim made the argument that if it's learned that from a pasuk, how are we to start mishing around and saying, well, today we have lights. You can't do that. It's based on a drasha. Some Rishayim holds even a drasha deraisa. So if it's a drasha deraisa, who are we to start to say that you don't have to do it? But l'maisa, most achrayim, Reb Yaakov, Reb Moshe, they held that even though in theory they're very quick to believe you're allowed to use a flashlight, they held as min klal Yisrael, it's not right to totally change the whole way of doing it. So what they suggest is start the bedika with a candle, make a bracha and do a little bit, then you blow it out, and then you use a flashlight. Now, Shmuel Kamenetsky was willing to go as far as saying that maybe not, maybe today, because we're so afraid of fire, because we don't really deal with fire much, we should be very careful, and we're not going to do a good bedika with a candle. And then maybe you can even lechatchila use a flashlight. He says at the end of the day, he writes like his father suggested, that just do a little bit with the candle, and at the end of the day, do the rest with a flashlight. Now, there's two ways to break down the shayla. If you assume that there's a din, you have to use an air, so maybe a flashlight is called an air. That was the old shayla whenever it comes to Hilchos Shabbos and Hilchos Chanukah and other places. We have old, you know, tshuvas from Achreinim about whether or not it's considered Eish. If Salavechik says he remembers being by Reb Chaim Moizer, and Reb Chaim Moizer used to make Havdalah Badafka on light, on a bulb, again, not the incandescent bulb, to show everyone that's Mamish Eish. If Salavechik says he remembers seeing it, that was Reb Chaim Moizer. He was a very big believer that bulbs are Eish Mamish. So if you hold it's Eish, it's Ner, so then you are being Mekayim what Chazal wanted of you. The other side is, even if you hold it's not, or like Shmuel Kamenetsky says, let's say you use LED lights. LED lights are kuli amamay, they're not Eish. Who says you need Ner? Maybe the reason why you needed Ner was because at that time, that was the best mode of being able to search. Now we have better systems, so maybe you don't need. So halacha l'maaseh, I think most people today use flashlights. I think it's probably a better idea for both for safety and ensuring you do a good bedika. But I think many people follow this minhag in Klal Yisrael, they like to first do a bedika with a candle to be mekayim, the good old-fashioned minhag that Klal Yisrael did for thousands of years, and then they'll do the rest with a flashlight.
What about talking?
So the halacha is that when you make a bracha, you're not supposed to be mafsik until you finish the entire procedure. But if you were mafsik between when you make the bracha and you did a little bit of a bedika, let's say, for example, you made the bracha al vir chametz, you checked a little bit, and throughout the process, you start talking to your wife about, you know, what's up. So although that's not right, bidyevid, you don't have to make another bracha. The only time you'd have to make another bracha is if, let's say, you made the bracha al bir chametz, and before you checked anything, you were mafsik. Then you'd have to make another bracha. But preferably, a person should not be mafsik throughout until he finishes the bedika, unless it's tzarech habedika. You know, I love those homes. Everyone's everyone's nooing and humming the whole time. Tell them. Say, listen, I found a piece of bread there. Go check it. Or maybe we didn't check the closet. Instead of, you know, this humming, I don't see the purpose. But me'ikar adin, there's no isser to talk after you did some bedika. So, for example, let's say a person goes to the bathroom middle of bedika, and he wants to make ashayotza, so he would be allowed to make ashayotza. It's like by Shafer. Right, the one time the shul is so quiet is during shofar, because the rabbi makes an announcement, you're not supposed to talk until the end of the shofar. Now, between me and you, the only time it's a real problem is if before he blows any shofar, the first 30. By the time you pass the first 30, you can talk. But you find me a shul where anyone, chas v'shalom, lashon hara they'll do, which is a deraisa. But to talk until they hear the last koilus, no one will do. That's just the beauty of Klai. So that they won't be mafsik, chas v'shalom. Even though mikra din, you don't have to go back. But the real takeaway from everything tonight is I think if we approach the Pesach cleaning with what we're looking for and the bedikas chametz, it'll make it a lot less stressful on ourselves and our families. It'll make it much more enjoyable, and that making the Yom Tov Pesach much more enjoyable, at least preparing for it, and a lot less stressful.